It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Dez and Troy. You see, when you put them together, they destroy.
We got company. Hang on.
Welcome in, y'all. Daily Destroyer, part of the Dynasty Warzone Network. I am Tyler with my co-host, as always, Lou, breaking down the main slate on DraftKings Week 7. Before we jump into Week 7, quick recap of Week 6. You know, keeping ourselves accountable as we always do. Wasn't the best week for me. Still was able to make a little bit money, but as came out in the black, but enough to maybe buy like a chicken sandwich, I'll say. Things didn't go great. Played Lamar. Still like the process on that one, but there's four touchdowns scored in that game. And in the end of the day, he didn't account for any of them. Don't expect that to happen in the future. Ended up playing Pittman. Wasn't the best play. I didn't expect 32-year-old Hilton to come in and out-target Pittman, but it certainly happened. And then ended up going Keenan Allen. Thought it was a pretty sharp play, especially with all the news around Mike Williams and the injury. He did depart with the injury. It is unfortunate to say, but Keenan Allen, not to say he's dust, but his better days might be behind him at this point in time, unfortunately. So didn't have all the best plays, was still able to make a little bit of money. Didn't lose money. I guess that's always the goal when playing DFS is to not lose money, but there were some better plays that should have been made. Lou, you're week six. Talk to me.
Yeah, I had somewhat similar. I thought I made a decent amount of good plays. I think the issues I had were Lamar and Keenan Allen as well. I think it was what Cup had a lot. I went double tight end, and I think that's where I faltered a little bit. Is Kelce just didn't score enough based on like his ownership and what Ricky Seals-Jones did. So I didn't play Herbert, and that was probably the big thing. Is if you play Herbert, you get a little different of a construction. Mm-hmm. But instead, I paid up to Kelce, so then the rest of my lineup was a little different. So it wasn't that great of a week for me either.
It's all right. Bounce back here in week 7. Let's start with the quarterbacks. At least in cash, I think it's pretty straightforward this week. There's two quarterbacks that stick out to me. One's going to be that bounce back from Lamar Jackson. We're expected again. Like, this guy is involved in the offense. He accounts for majority of the touchdowns, majority of the yards. To see a game last week where there's four touchdowns scored and Lamar is not involved is pretty wild. Not going to see that again. Because he dudded last week, essentially, we did see his price drop from 76 to 74. Lamar Jackson is 74 this week. That is still quite cheap for me. So locking Lamar Jackson back in my lineup in another matchup against the Bengals, which isn't necessarily scary, is something that I feel pretty good about. And then Jalen Hurts at this point playing the Raiders, also not that great on defense. We know he might not be the best real-life quarterback at this point in time, but he has shown to have that 20-point floor. We absolutely love to see that. So Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts is 6,900. Lamar Jackson, 74. These are two quarterbacks in cash that I feel pretty comfortable about. I'll be choosing between one of the two, but I'm not going to be looking many other ways in cash. Your thoughts, QB's cash, Lou?
Yeah, I think cash this week, you just, depending on what the rest of your lineup is and what you can afford, is Lamar or Hurts. Their difference of 500, so it doesn't really change many other pieces of your lineup. And the nice part, if you were to do Hurts, is you have that optionality in the late game to switch around your roster. So there's a lot more plays on the late slate, the I guess it's 4 o'clock for, cause I'm not in time. So yeah, 4 o'clock Eastern games. Cause I'm looking and I see two, but yeah. So the 4 o'clock Eastern, there's a lot more plays than we've had recently. And it's a somewhat smaller slate. So it's 4 of the 10 games are in the late time window. So that's where like Hurts gives you a little more options that if you are trailing, you could switch your lineup up to say like Brady or Carr or Kyler or Stafford. Like there's way more options if you were to use Hurts. So that's what's kind of interesting to be with Hurts. But then it's just him or Lamar in cash. And then in GPPs, it's, there's a lot of cool options this week, I think.
Yeah, let's dive into that. I feel like we could talk, like, we got our two cash quarterbacks. We feel good about that. And GPBs, I mean, there's more, like, interesting plays than there's not at this point in time just due to the buys and the slate being interesting as it is. But I'll give you two quarterbacks, Lou. Give me two quarterbacks that, as of today that you are a bit more interested in playing in those GPP lineups.
Yeah, I like Stafford and Carr right now. They're not necessarily like similarly priced, but Stafford's nice because he's in between those two, Lamar and Hurts, so I think he'll get somewhat overlooked, and especially with the matchup against the Lions, people might expect that to be more run heavy. But I mean, this is the ultimate revenge game, right? Like he gets to go against his old Lions team. It's double revenge game on the other side with Goff.
I mean, it's more of a Goff revenge game because they kind of got rid of him more so than that. Yeah. But I feel like we're not playing Goff, so we're, I mean, it's definitely Stafford. Right.
But McVay, I heard some talk that they're just going to let Stafford go, and you know, you're facing the Lions, put up, you know, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. We don't care. We're going to beat them anyway, kind of thing. So kind of might play towards that narrative a little bit, and we'll talk about it at running backs, but I think a lot of people will be on the run part of that game, so it might be a little leverage off of that. Like say they're up, say they win like 28-3 or they're up 28-3 or something, and those touchdowns could easily come through the air first. So I like Stafford, and then with Carr, similar to the Hurts, that game could be pretty back and forth and a lot of plays, high pace game. So the reason I like that one a little more than say the Chiefs Titans is it's going to be potential for, because it's going to be a close game likely, that the potential for both teams to be competitive throughout the whole game. So I kind of like if everyone's going on the Hurt side to go to the Carr side. And I mean, if you look at Carr's stat lines this year, like he's not necessarily the old Carr that was not like noodle arm or anything, but he's got all but one game this year. He has 2 touchdowns passing and he's gone over 300 yards in 4 of the 6 games. So I think he's got decent upside for a 6K quarterback, and it's against the Eagles and they generally defend against the long ball and Carr likes to throw it short. So I think it works out really well for Carr, Waller, Renfrow, like these, the short area yardage guys. Philly likes to give that up compared to giving up plays to like Ruggs.
Yep. And you know, last week I was off the Raiders, right? Cause I was a bit concerned, you know, the whole Gruden thing, he ended up, I guess, resigning at this point in time. And you know, how were the Raiders going to react to losing their head coach? And you know, they look rejuvenated, like they look like a different team out there. And I don't know the inner details of the inner workings of that team, but we could be looking at a new Raiders team, a new Raiders offense, a new Raiders attitude. They really gave it to the Broncos, I believe. I mean, the Broncos aren't looking great regardless, but at the same time, 34 points, they look good. So I think it's safe to say that they're not any worse without Gruden head coaching that team. So like the call on the Raiders, and you don't have to talk to me about Stafford. I mean, it's good to see him play the Lions. I hope he absolutely shreds them. He deserves to get his W's after putting 10-plus years in with the Detroit Lions. So pool of 3 quarterbacks this week.
So Hurts, Lamar, and I'll say Carr as the third.
Shifting over to the running backs, the question always, sir, if he is on the slate, is Derrick Henry in those cash lineups at 9,200 against the Chiefs? And a 57.5 point over-under, pretty insane.
Yeah. I mean, he's 9,200, and the issue I have with Henry this week is we know how low of a floor he has in games that he might get scripted out, and this could be one of them. I mean, he's just been such a big piece of that offense, and how long can he keep this 30 touches a game up for, right? But at some point, he's going to find his match, and I'll probably watch to see like how much of the field is going to be playing him this week. And you know, back-to-back weeks with three touchdowns, over 100 yards in five straight games. And so, but we know what the floor is. What if he comes out of this game with 18 carries for 75 yards and no touchdown? Then all of a sudden for 9,200, like your team is pretty much destroyed, and there's not a ton of great cheap options to go along with him. So I probably won't play him in cash with that price tag. And that's more of like a personal preference, but I think there's a lot of good running backs in the mid range that you can play, and to save that 3K is going to help the rest of my lineup.
Yep. And the, you know, first player is going to come up, and we pretty much already alluded to this, but you know, Daryl Henderson is one of the first names. I expect him to be one of the highest owned players on the slate, 6,600. He's a true bell cow at this point in time. Still a bit underpriced in terms of how much volume and how much work he's getting on this really good Rams offense. And, you know, we talked about that KC Titans game at 57.5 over under. The next closest is going to be the Rams Lions at 50 point over under. Still pretty solid, second highest on this slate. And more importantly, the Rams, I believe, are a, was it 16 point favorite at this point in time?
Yeah.
Six. And like, so if you're telling me that there's a team that got a 6,600 running back who is a bona fide workhorse and they're favored by 16 points, I know you talked about their narrative at home of Stafford fly. I mean, Stafford could easily do that, but Henderson's still getting work in the run game. So just Henderson almost is a no brainer, kind of like build your lineup around this guy. One of the first guys you click when you start your lineup, Henderson at 6,600. Thoughts on Henderson in those cash lineups?
Yeah, because it's, what are they implied at, like 34 points or something like that? So they're basically implied to get 4 to 5 touchdowns in this game. And I think you can expect that a home running back who gets work in the pass game, and he's pretty much getting all of the work running the ball as well. Like, I think you can easily expect him, Henderson, to get 20 touches in this game at least, and the likelihood of him getting touchdowns is probably higher than most other running backs on the entire slate. And 6,600, he just seems mispriced. I think he should be at least 7K.
Yep.
And then we'd have to think a little more about it, but he was 6K last week and showed why he shouldn't be 6K either. And he technically is the third highest priced running back. He hasn't hit 100 yards yet this season.
But he also hasn't scored under 15 DK points this season either.
Right. So, like, he's got a great floor. And for 6,600, he's pretty much the first guy I'm putting into cash. And he's honestly, at that price, the guy who, if I were to make a lot of lineups this week, like, I might try to get over the field. And he's already going to be pretty highly owned. So, let's say he's 30% owned, then I'd probably still try to get 50% at least of him. So he's definitely a guy I'm pretty high on this week and would like to be ahead of the field for the case that he gets a 30-point game.
Let's stick in that 6K range. There's a lot of interesting running backs here as well. I'm going to start with two. We can even go into some more. But that's going to be Leonard Fournette, 6,400. We know the Tampa Bay likes to pass, but at this point in time, Lambeau Lenny, Playoff Lenny, whatever you want to call him, like, he is that dude. Rojo is barely out on the field. Gio, you know, if there is passing work that must be had, sure. But at the end of the day, it's against the Bears, and the Bears are awful. I expect the Bucs to roll. If the Bucs are rolling, Fournette's going to be out there just absolutely eating touches up. It's what he's been doing for, you know, the majority of this year. I mean, just looking at the last couple weeks, it's like last week, 22 attempts. He had 6 targets. Before that, it was 12 attempts, 5 targets. Then before that, it was 20 attempts, 5 targets. I mean, it's like a 5-target floor, probably at least for 16 carries. Like, he is that dude on that offense. Again, they like to throw the ball. We do know that. But at the end of the day, if they're up, they're going to be churning it with our man Fournette here at 6,400. So he seems like a pretty safe play. And then the other side that I want to talk about, or not the other side, sorry, is going to be Chuba Hubbard, 6,100. CMC's on IR. He's not playing. We're talking about a guy who's gone back-to-back, 16 attempts last week, 24 attempts the week before that. Still getting work in the pass game, 3 targets last week, 6 targets the week before that. Another, you know, when we're talking about cash lineups, we're talking about running backs and cash lineups, we're playing the guys that are getting, you know, the almost guaranteed volume, the guys that we can feel real good about getting at least 18 touches in a game. And, you know, we talked about Henderson, obviously that guy, but then Chuba and Fournette, in my opinion, are both two dudes that I feel great about getting, you know, an 18-touch floor. Neither one of them are in very scary matchups and in this similar range. Thoughts on Fournette and thoughts on Chuba?
Yeah, I like both of them. And this is where I go back to the Henry thing, where it's like, why am I paying up for, you know, 9,200 for running back when there's 3 very viable 6K running backs here who are all arguably in better spots? I think, you know, the Chiefs defense hasn't been great, but from a point per dollar standpoint, I think a lot of the projections are showing Henry as getting around like 24 or 25 points, but then like rightly Henderson's so. At 20, Fournette's at 18, Chuba's at 17.
And
like,
that 3K disparity. Yeah. That 3K right. disparity doesn't make sense there. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Henry's a great value and for even at that price tag, but to pay for 3 running backs in that 6K range, I'm going to favor that every time. And Hubbard has been that guy. Yeah. He's originally, people were like, oh, is he going to be the 90% CMC? And it didn't seem like that. But I think if you break out the stats, like, he's still about 80% CMC and he's starting to get more work in the pass game. And the Giants are so injured right now. I believe on ETR they had this as the biggest mismatch of offense-defensive line. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting the Panthers to win this game pretty easily. And with that, they're going to be running the ball, and that's going to go through Hubbard.
Yep. And just to say, like, you know, if you look at the guys like Henry or Hubbard or Fournette even, and they, you know, they leave this week with, you know, say – you know, 15 carries, 82 yards, and a couple catches, right? Henry, well, that destroys your lineup if that's Henry, right? But you can get by if that's Chuba or if that's Fournette. Like, that doesn't crush you because you're saving 3K off of that. So it's just the risk is a bit less. So, you know, it's always tough to say because, like, if you fade Henry and you're wrong, you lose money. That's basically how it works. So you're taking a stance here. But I do like the stance we're taking, and I'm on the possible of fade Henry this week for some of these 6K guys. A couple other I want to throw out there, Lou, that I have similar thoughts on in that same range. Josh Jacobs, 6,200. The Eagles, again, they're a bit of a run funnel. Like, as much as people don't want to admit it, Slay's been playing absolutely great this year. And the Raiders, the Eagles' run defense is 25th DVOA, 28th in yards allowed per carry. We know Jacobs is that preferred guy on the ground. Things are good there. This game sets up well, you know, regardless of the I mean, I think the Raiders are a 3-point favorite, but they're also at home, so it's a pretty dead even game if you really break it down. And then the other guy is going to be Swift. I talk about him every week. It's my homerism. I can't help it. But just something to note, like, I know if you watch Swift play and you watch the game, it's concerning because you look at his stat line after 3 quarters, and it's not great. Always comes back in the fourth quarter. But things are trending up for DeAndre Swift. 78% snap rate last week, season high. 76 or 75% of RB touches, season high. Getting most of the routes on, he's running a lot of routes on Jared Goff's dropbacks. Like, everything is trending up for DeAndre Swift in this moment. He is slowly starting to carve out a role where he's much more of a workhorse, and it's a lot less of a split between him and Jamal Williams. And it's just he's a threat, and they love to use him in the pass game, and they love to use him on the goal line or in green zone situations. So when we're talking about players we want to play in DK, we want receptions and we want goal line touches. And that is what Swift is providing. And he is that guy when the lines are down. And guess what? Like, the lines are always going to be down, in particular in a game when they're 16-point underdogs. So talk to me a bit about your thoughts on Jacobs and Swift.
I like both of them. And especially since people are going to gravitate towards those other 3 that are in the similar price range, that makes them great GPP plays. I really do like Jacobs a lot. The issue with Swift is, if 17-point favorites is going to make it a lot harder to project Swift. You're really relying on him catching like five plus balls because he's likely going to have trouble with running the ball in the game and like picking up, say, the 100-yard bonus or rushing touchdowns.
He said four catches in every game though this season, though, just something to note. Like you said, four catches. He averages about five catches a game so far. So I mean,
yeah, I guess it's more of the issue of, are they so much worse than the Rams that they're going to struggle to move the ball at all and get first downs, and the Rams are just going to run it down their throats and control the clock all game? So I guess what I'm saying is his upside is a little more limited versus Jacobs, who I think they're going to run more plays. They're more likely to score touchdowns in this game and score easy touchdowns for him. It's just going to require a little more effort, so to speak, for Swift. So I think between the two, I lean Jacobs, but that's more of like a personal preference. Mm-hmm. I think they're both similarly good plays, but I think with that Lenny ownership, I would much rather play these two guys in GPPs. I think Swift's ownership is going to be extremely low, but I like the idea of putting him in those Stafford lineups because you're really playing for the idea that he's going to get more spiked week in receptions because they're trailing, and you're playing it. That's, I think it's going to be a closer game than maybe the line implies. Mm-hmm. So you're expecting more chance for touchdowns for the Lions, but also that they're going to be competitive enough to be running more plays successfully, and that's going to go through Swift.
Yep. And then last player I at least want to touch on before opening it up for any other guys, it's going to be Devontae Booker at 5,500. I know like you're going to see the first against the Panthers on DraftKings. I think it's a bit of a misnomer considering the Panthers like came out of the gate against some really, really easy opponents. It's not really indicative, in my opinion, to what their run defense is. I mean, you look at the Panthers' run defense, it's actually 18th DVOA, 15th in yards allowed per carry. Like, they're a pretty middling run defense, although the DraftKings will see that red one, and people might be scared a bit off of it. I mean, since Saquon's been out, he has seen last 2 weeks has been 12 attempts, four targets, 16 attempts, four targets. I mean, he seems to have a floor of 15 touches. He has that Saquon usage. He has that Saquon role. There's really no one there that he's splitting time with. And at 5,500, he's definitely in play for me, even in cash, just considering I feel good about him getting 15 touches in this game. Is he a world beater? Like, absolutely not. Typically, would probably need a touchdown to really work out for you. But at the same time, Galladay's out, Tony's out. Sure, Shepard might be back, but I think I read that Shepard suffered a bit of a setback in practice on Friday. So there really aren't that many options out there for these New York Giants to get the ball to if they're going to look to score. So, you know, with that injury news, Booker seems like a guy that is cash viable.
Yeah, I think he's sort of in that price range that makes him a little more viable under 6K. The only other guy under 6K that I've even really looked at considering is Miles Sanders at 5,100, also part of that game that I've been interested in. And I think, from what I've heard in like other podcasts and write-ups, is people seem to like Sanders this week, and I've heard his name more often than Booker. So from just like a leverage standpoint, I think Booker would be a better play from that idea, that angle. The other guy I want to talk about who's kind of gotten forgotten a little bit this week, and just from looking at the ETR projected ownership, he's the only guy who's coming in under 10% in their projections in this whole like 5-6K range. It's Joe Mixon. And I mean, he's been a pretty good player all season and continues to just like be the guy when he's healthy and playing in games. Last week, he had great usage. He had 18 carries and 5 receptions, and it looks like he's back to full health again. And we know when he's at full health, they love,
for better or worse, giving him, for better or worse, they're giving him the ball. Exactly.
Yeah. And this matchup against the Ravens, like, it's not the worst matchup for running backs either. It's
absolutely.
So,
not.
In that sense, I really kind of like the idea of Mixon as a one-off. I don't really think he's necessarily a play in like a Lamar Jackson stacked lineup. But I think more of like a one-off if you think the Ravens are going to maybe struggle out the gate again or something like that. But I do kind of like Mixon this week. What do you think?
I wasn't thinking Mixon, and I think that's incorrect of me, and I really like your call here on Mixon because now that he's back and he's healthy, like he saw 6 targets, 18 attempts last week against Detroit. You know, I think there's a chance that maybe the Ravens come out crushing and he gets dialed back a little bit in terms of his rushes. But if there's any situation where this game is close or the Bengals find themselves up, you know, 20 touches is not out of the realm of possibilities here for Joe Mixon. And he is a very good running back now that he is back and healthy. So I'm not sure, just considering the other running backs have a similar price, that I'll be putting him in there. But if you were to tell me like, hey, Tyler, I want to put Mixon in my cash lineup, I would say, you know, go ahead. I have no issues with getting Mixon in there. And especially in GPPs, I think he's an interesting pivot, also considering what you mentioned about his projected ownership.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing for me is like early on this week when I first looked at the salaries, I was thinking that Mixon would come in more owned, but over time and throughout the week, it seems like he's not getting talked up that much. And it shows in the projected ownership that I was just talking about. And I think part of that's just his price. He's about the same price as Henderson, more expensive than Fournette and Hubbard. And those are the guys that are really getting talked about this week.
Let's do pool of five running backs because we're not throwing Henry in there. So let's do pool of five running backs who are interested in your lineups this week.
I'm going to say Henderson, Hubbard, Booker, and then I'll say Jacobs and Swift.
Shifting over to the wide receiver position, similar how we always talk about Derrick Henry, it's going to be Davante Adams at 8,900. Washington football team defense coming in the season heralded as one of the best. It's been one of the worst. It is actually the best defense through 6 weeks in terms of quarterback points and wide receiver points. We know Davante Adams is capable of, you know, not necessarily Tyreek level of slate breaking, but pretty goddamn close to that. You know, his floor is nice, probably around 12, 14 points, and those 30 to 40 point weeks, those can absolutely happen. So, I mean, he is heavily targeted in games when they need to move the ball. Like, you know, seeing like 15 targets to Davante Adams is not that crazy. So Davante Adams, 8,900, interest in him.
I mean, I don't know if I won't play him in cash just because I'm leaning more towards playing 3 of those 6K running backs. And from a price standpoint, I think basically my whole lineup is going to be mid-range guys if I do that path. Adams he's just always a great play, and it's a pretty good matchup for him.
It's like the best. It's like the best matchup.
Arguably the best, yeah. But I guess my concern is the Washington football team going to be able to fight back in this game? Like, that's kind of the hard part for me is they're beat up. They
very beat up.
The Packers have looked good ever since week one. And for me, I'm not sure if we really are going to see any sort of ceiling for Adams this week compared to others. Like last week, he only had 5 targets, which was by far his low this year. But in games that they lead like that, it seems like he's not really as big of a threat to get touchdowns. He only has 2 touchdowns on this year, which is pretty low for mm-hmm. him, I'd say. So it doesn't seem like they're just force feeding him touchdowns this year like they were last year. So I think that kind of lowers his upside, at least just from looking at the game logs this year, basically. It doesn't seem like he's getting those, last year we saw 100 yards and 2 touchdowns like all the time from him, you know, like that was very commonplace. But now we're seeing games with 5 catches for 90 yards. And that's good for your season long teams maybe, but it's not going to cut it for a 9K wide receiver.
Well, and then let's just like jump down to Kupp at 84. I mean, by all means, he's been almost a better play than Davante Adams so far this year. He's a bit cheaper. He's seen 10 targets in every single game this season. He's got 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns on the year. like it, he has been the cash play. I mean, it's been like play cup and profit. It's been pretty straightforward. So, and we've talked about Stafford. We've talked about this game. If we're fading DA, it means we probably got to get Cup in there. Thoughts on Cup, man?
Yeah, I prefer if you're going to pay up to go for Cup. He just seems safer in general. He's clearly Stafford's favorite target. The issue is obviously this game is the game script. Is it going to script him out of this game? But I mean, we've seen it in other games where they win by 15 plus points, where he's still able to get 7-9 receptions in the game against Chicago and the Giants. He was still able to get over 100 yards and touchdown in those games. So I don't think it's out of the question to still see his upside, especially if people are going to be heavy on Henderson. This is a way to be different. And if they're getting touchdowns through someone other than Henderson, it's likely going to be Cup.
Yeah. I mean, don't really have to talk about Cup and cash. It's the DA and Cup. It's pretty straightforward. It's just, do we play him or not? Interest is Cup over DA at this point in time. I'll open it up for you here, Lou, at this point in time to, you know, who give me your top two wide receiver cash plays as of today.
My top two.
Yeah, like who you get in those lineups? I mean, not obviously not Cup. I guess if he's in there, but like not Cup, not like obviously not DA. But you know, who are you feeling like? Who's an absolute smash spot in terms of your cash lineup?
I think just based on price and activity, like Ridley and Godwin are two of my favorite. I'm more focused on getting them in first, and then sort of figuring out if I can fit Cup later. Ridley just seems so mispriced at 6,600. I get that he's like coming off injury week, but he's pretty safe for like 7 catches, 50 yards at least.
Yeah, his floor has been good, man. His floor has been good.
It's a great matchup against the Dolphins. It's not like he's playing in a tough matchup. And we haven't really talked much about this Falcons Dolphins game, but I think
it's gonna be
popular. I love targeting bad teams facing against each other. They're the types of games that can spike because like neither team really plays much defense. So I like Ridley a lot, 6,600. And they have Russell Gage back, but
there's nothing, dude. I'm not worried.
It's not going to take much off of like yards and touchdowns, but it will take targets away. Like Russell Gage just gets targets and he's 4K. He's not a guy that I'm like too interested in, but in like a Ryan stack, I think going Ryan, Ridley, Engage is like a pretty decent play, and then you bring it back with someone like a Waddle or Gesicki. So that's a game that I'm somewhat interested in stacking up, and I'm very interested in Ridley. And then Godwin without Antonio Brown and Gronk in that game, they're facing the Bears. It's a great matchup. Team likes to throw the ball. I really like Godwin coming out of the slot against the Bears. Obviously, like Evans is a great play. The strategy I was explaining to you earlier that I kind of have some interest in because of the late swap ability this week with so many great plays late. I like having Henderson in the flex spot. And then if you're trailing, switch that to Evans. Evans, obviously, we know what type of ceiling he has in a game where you don't have Gronk taking away the upside of touchdowns and Brown taking away the upside of targets. This could be easily a smash spot for Evans as well.
Yep. I mean, Antonio Brown being out, I think, opens up a lot. We know we've talked about it before. Bucks love to pass the ball.
Yeah.
And like just to narrow that target distribution tree a bit more, especially considering how much AB has been crushing. He seems to have like this kind of like, I wouldn't say it's like a Lockett-Russ connection, but there seems to be something going on. I don't know if it's because he was Brady's roommate or whatnot, or maybe just AB is that freaking good still. But at the end of the day, with AB out, it opens a hell of a lot up through the air from a team that's been very focused on the pass. So with you on that one, Ridley, Godwin, two of your more favorite plays. I'll take it over from here and kind of talk a bit about a couple of mine that I have some interest in. One is going to be just Brandon Cooks. Like at this point in time is a cash play. He seems just like pretty goddamn safe considering just the circumstances of the Texans. Like in season long, it's like you can only ever play Cooks, but he's also that dude where, you know, he has seen double digit targets in, you know, half of his games this year. he has been, you know, he's cracked almost 18 DK points in four of the last six games. Mills still bad, but looking like a bit more competent with a couple, you know, the rookie after all, like you got to give it to him, like looking a bit more confident. Like I at least trust Mills to be able to get the ball towards Brandon Cooks in a game where they're playing the Arizona Cardinals, who have no problem scoring points and will have no problem scoring points. Mills should be throwing this ball early and often. Another 10 target game out of Brandon Cooks would not surprise me whatsoever. And we know he's a pretty dynamic wide receiver in terms of being able to just figure it out all over the field. Deep balls, catch one for a touchdown, absolutely no problem. So 6K for a guy that I feel pretty comfortable getting at least eight targets, probably more likely around 10 in this game. Thoughts on Brandon Cooks, 6K cash?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty safe option. I personally prefer Godwin just because it's better offense, higher upside. I mean, but the price is essentially the same. You can very easily play both. Yeah. And I might do that. I'm just going to play a lot of guys around 6K this week in general. But he's such a safe play, and he's really the only option on this team that love. A lot of people are just referring to them as like the expansion team or, you know, XFL team and all this stuff. And it's hard to really trust Davis Mills, but if Mills throws for even only 180 yards, like you'd still probably expect at least half of that to be going to Cook. So like five catches, 80 yards or whatever. It's still a decent line for a guy that's 6K. It's just his upside of touchdowns is way lower than Godwin.
Fair enough. Throw another one out there for you. I think we didn't mention this before, but I've kind of been thinking through this, and I think Jalen Waddle at 5,600. We talked about this game, you know, with two bad teams and Devontae Parker. I think this is more so I lean if Devontae Parker is going to be out. At this point in time, I've not heard news one way or another whether he's going to be playing or not. So if Parker plays, a little less interested in Waddle, but if Parker's out again, you know, Waddle is a guy that at 5,600 in this game that I feel pretty comfortable targeting is a guy that I'll throw in there. I mean, he's seen 13 targets twice so far this year. Like, it's been up or down. The floor doesn't seem to be that nice. But the one thing that we have not seen from Waddle that I know that he has in him from, what you know, scouting him a bit in college is, like, he's a deep ball guy, man. Like, he has that speed. He has the breakaway speed. They can get him deep. And I don't trust the Falcons' defense to be able to stop anybody. And more importantly, last week, they as in the Miami Dolphins, like, they use him in the red zone a bit. Like, they were throwing the ball to Waddle in the end zone. So, like, he's dynamic. They're using him all over the field. So, your thoughts on Waddle? 5,600, especially if Parker doesn't play, with that caveat. I'm assuming you're the same way there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not even sure if Parker in or not is that big of a deal for me, because we've seen it a lot with Waddle that he's still just getting the targets, even if they're the short passing routes, and he still has this rapport with Tua being back to college. I mean, last week was the first time we saw his upside, which I think the issue with that is that might get more people on him this week, especially in a matchup against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. But for 5,600, like, I've already told you I'm making a lineup that is stacking this game. And Waddle is someone who it's relatively cheap way to get exposure to this game, even as standalone. Like, it seems like his floor is relatively safe, at least for targets. The weeks that he scored less were against much better teams and defenses. So, I mean, we saw him just put up 10 catches, 70 yards, and two touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the other time he had the spike week was against the Raiders. So I think in a game against the Falcons, this is one that I'm going to prefer to play him a little more than other games. But he is a little more expensive. This is the first time he's been over 5K. So that part somewhat worries me. And I think I'd only really be playing him in games that I'm stacking with, say, a Ryan or Tua at quarterback.
Makes sense. We got a quick question from the chat here, pivoting to tight ends. I know we'll get there in a second, but Mike has a question. Cameron Brate, any appeal with Gronk out? Lou, thoughts on Brate as a kind of a tight end punt play? I believe he's 3,300.
Yeah. I think it's a decent punt play. It's a play that I'd rather make if Brady is my quarterback, because you're really playing Brate for his touchdown upside. I think I still would prefer OJ Howard at a similar price. He's listed as questionable, but I know he was full in practice yesterday, so I think he's going to play. He's more likely, in my opinion, to get a decent amount of targets, and we saw last week he had a touchdown. So I think I would prefer Howard over Brate. Would you?
I think it's only in Brady stacks that I'm here, because I think if I'm going in this range at tight end, it's going to be Ricky Seals-Jones at 3,700.
Yeah.
In the end of the day, had a good week last week, caught a touchdown, but even when he didn't catch a touchdown, he still had 9 points. Like, I don't see a lot of other guys in this range without catching a touchdown going to get you around that 8 to 10 point range. He's just a full-time tight end. Like, there is absolutely no split with Ricky Seals-Jones as part of the Washington football team offense. He has taken that Logan Thomas role in totality. So it's just the snaps, the routes run, everything is going to be so much higher for Ricky Seals-Jones. Like, Ricky Seals-Jones is mispriced, like, in terms of his usage and how much he's on the field. Like, 3,700 is a mispriced tight end, in my opinion, Ricky Seals-Jones. Like, he should be up in that range, in the Higbees, the Goddards, the Gesicki range, for how much they're using Ricky Seals-Jones. So I would try to find that $400 from Brate to Ricky Seals-Jones if I was thinking that. But, you know, if you're playing a Brady stack, I think that Brate's viable. But without Brady, that range, it's pretty locked with Ricky Seals-Jones for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ricky Seals-Jones is still underpriced for his usage. He should be over 4K. Do you want to just go down tight ends while we're at it? Because I think Ricky Seals-Jones is kind of the lock for me in cash.
Yeah, I mean, we can come back to the wide receiver pool here in a second, but let's close out tight ends. Then we'll go to the wide receiver pool. So Ricky Seals-Jones is the lock for cash, but, you know, give me a couple like other tight ends you're thinking about playing. I mean, we can start at the top end if you want. I mean, we always got to at least talk about Kelce and Waller when on the slate.
The way that I described to you earlier was I'm attacking tight ends this week as who am I using for quarterback in that lineup. And I'm going to use a tight end from that same game. So if I have Matt Ryan, then I'm going to choose Pitts or even Gesicki as the bring back. So my kind of pool of tight ends this week is wider than it usually is. Ricky Seals-Jones, I'm playing in cash, but I probably just won't even touch him in tournaments just because he's going to be so widely owned.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If I'm in that price range, that's where someone like Howard is pretty interesting to me. But then I would go up to Gesicki, Goddard. Those are two guys who I think are going to be relatively common, but I like both of them. It seems like people are talking Goddard up a decent amount, more than Gesicki right now. I've heard some talk about Gesicki being overpriced, but I think we've seen his upside in the past for touchdowns and 100-yard games. So
he's not a touchdown or bust. He's not a touchdown or bust tight end. You know,
those other top tight ends, like Darren Waller, this is one of the best matchups he'll see. And as I mentioned before with Carr, I think it's more likely that they're going to be doing short passes this game over other games, just the way that Philly plays on defense. And we haven't seen Waller get a spike target game in a little while. Since week one, he had 19 targets. So we know that's the upside. So I expect Waller to have at least 8 targets in this game. And I expect it to be a close game. And that's when Carr really leans on Waller. His price, I know we don't really talk about FanDuel that much, but his FanDuel price is like lock button, basically. Mm-hmm. But Kelce, I'll play in Mahomes stacks. I think I prefer him over any of their wide receivers this week. Andrews, I'll play him in Lamar lineups. I already mentioned Pitts. I think Hockenson is a decent option as a bring back for Stafford teams as well. Like, I'm not going to play Goff likely, but I think in a Stafford stack, bringing back with Hockenson is very interesting. And then Higbee, I would only play in a Stafford lineup. But yeah, I'm basically just depending on the rest of my lineup is how I'm choosing tight end this week.
Makes sense. Give me a pool of 3 tight ends, RSJ and 2 others.
Yeah, I'd say Waller and Gesicki.
All right, let's revisit the wide receivers here. I'm actually going to like move it to the pool here. I feel like we're at a decent point, but at the same time, if there's someone in this pool that you have not talked about, go ahead and do it. So give me the pool of five wide receivers and elaborate if there's someone that we have not touched on.
I'm trying to think if we.
So Cup,
AJ Brown, we haven't really talked about. Mm-hmm. AJ Brown is still like decently cheap at 6,300 and in the highest scoring expected game. If we're already not going to play Henry, then AJ Brown, I like him better than Julio, but I think he's going to get talked up and have some ownership this week as well. And then T Higgins at 4,900 is still relatively cheap. He's probably my favorite under 5K wide receiver. And then Devonta Smith at 5,400 in that game. I like him in hurt stacks or even as the bring back from their side in the car stacks that I like. So the Sterling Shepard thing was interesting recently, and I'm not sure because he's still banged up. Like basically everyone on their team is banged up. Do you have any interest in Dante Pettis? It's not that sexy.
I'm not doing it to myself.
I mean, is he going to be the only option?
It's possible, man, but I think
he's literally min-priced and had 11 targets last week. I know, but if Shepard is out, if Shepard, Tony, and Galladay are all listed as out, and Pettis is like literally the only one that's ever stepped on a football field, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where, I mean, that would allow you to play Henry. That would allow you to play Kelsey. I think that would be really interesting. I don't love doing it, but Pettis could be in play.
All right. You actually give me pool six wide receivers.
Okay. So for the pool, I'll say Cup, Ridley, Godwin, Higgins, Devonta.
Okay.
And Mooney. We didn't talk about Mooney, but I think he's for 4,600. He's the other guy under 5K that I like putting on teams. What's your thought on Allen Robinson? This might be
so not in cash.
The best play. This might be the best week to play Allen Robinson.
Yeah, it's tough for me, man.
That's why it's going to be a good week. He's going to be low owned 5,100.
5,100. I mean, it's just like he's been burning us for the last 6 weeks. Like I think in tournaments, if you wanted to go there, I'd have no problem with it because we know he like objectively Allen Robinson is a top 15 wide receiver in the NFL, right? And this is this will likely be the best matchup he'll have against a crippled Bucs secondary, a team where when you're playing the Bucs, you just abandon the run because it's just not even worth it. You just want to throw it. So, but I think like with that said, they're gonna have to throw a lot. You know, and it's just it's tough to say what we've seen out of field.
I think he has
like
better upside than Mooney, and people are going to go to Mooney because Mooney just has been better.
There's leverage on A-Rob without a doubt. I mean, in tournaments, like absolutely with it. In my cash lineups, like I just can't get around A-Rob, man.
Yeah, not in cash, but I think in lineups and tournaments, say like a Brady stack or a lineup that I'm attacking that game, I think I'm going to go with Robinson over Mooney because it's just a leverage thing for me.
That's the pool. I mean, and the defense, just to touch on it real quick, it's tough to really get there. But I mean, there's two teams that stick out to me. Is if I can fit them, I'm going to do it. That's going to be the Cardinals 3,100 against the Texans. Don't need to elaborate on that about how bad the Texans are. But another one that I do want to at least like, you know, say something about is going to be the Giants at 2,500. Panthers offensive line is not been good, and Darnold has looked bad under pressure. There's been some turnovers, you know, flying around there on Darnold's side of the ball, and the Giants their front four, their defensive line has been playing pretty well too. So I think it's a bit of a mismatch in terms of the Giants getting pressure on Darnold, and there could be some turnovers coming from Darnold in this game. So Cardinals 3,100 and Giants at 2,500 are both two that I feel pretty strongly about. If I can fit them, they're finding that way into my lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, that's basically where I'm looking now. I really want to get the Cardinals in. I think they're going to be so heavily owned. Just from past weeks, it seems like they price up anyone that's facing the Texans.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, ETR has them projected at 34% ownership, which is just insane for a defense. And what that means is you literally just don't play them in tournaments because defense is such a high variance position. But I kind of like the Panthers as well, just because of all of the injuries on the Giants. And we know how turnover prone Daniel Jones is, that Panthers, they're 3,500. It's crazy that they cost more than the Cardinals. But yeah, I think the Giants for cheap. And then the only other, like the Patriots-Jets game, just for the fact that we literally haven't mentioned anyone on either of those two teams, that I think it's expected to be low scoring and just like not a great game. So Jets at 2,400, I think, are also pretty decent. Saves you some cash. You could also do the Patriots from the same game. Both rookie quarterbacks going against each other. And there's crazy stats on Belichick against rookie quarterbacks. So I think that's the other game that I'd look for if I'm looking for a defense.
All right. That's going to do it for Daily Destroyer Week 7 sort of preview here. One thing that I just wanted to touch on, Lou, and I know you know a bit more about this, so feel free to elaborate. I was talking to one of our listeners last week, trying to hammer home the importance of putting a 4 o'clock player in your flex for the pivot if needing to pivot. So the idea essentially is like if you're down against somebody, or not even against one person, and you have a heavily owned player, likely heavily owned player in your flex, like you need to pivot off of that and get to somebody who's lower ownership that still has a bit of a ceiling. And last week, one of our listeners had Hunt in the flex, but they were up a good amount. And there was like one person in range of being able to take them down, and they also had Hunt. And I remember saying like, hey, if like that's Hunt, you have this locked up because you're up, you know, and all they had was Jacoby Myers. But I was like, if I was them, I would have taken a little bit of extra cash that I had and pivoted from Hunt to CeeDee Lamb. And if that person would have pivoted and gotten off of the Hunt chalk and went to CeeDee Lamb, like they would have taken down one of our listeners. And just luckily they are on the good side of not using a pivot correctly in the 4 o'clock games. But I just wanted to mention that to some of the listeners and have you maybe talk about the importance of that a bit more. But, you know, keeping those 4 o'clock players in the flex and being able to have that flexibility to switch off to somebody to get ahead is very important, especially when you have like a chalky player like Daryl had. Like I wanted, you know, kind of, you can talk about Henderson this week. If you have Henderson in your flex, like this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think last week was the perfect example of it because Hunt was really the only mega chalk in the late game. I think this week there's way more players in the late games that are viable in general, cash or GPPs. But so last week, for example, Kareem Hunt was 6,200 or something around there.
Yeah, so yeah, something like that.
And he was like everyone's flex play. And so if you had him in a flex spot and everyone you're facing against only had one guy left, it was likely him. And it's just strategically always correct to switch off of him unless you're ahead. And I think it was last week, it was Kupp that had a lot of points, right?
Yep, correct. So
it was kind of like if you had Kupp in your lineup, then you're already ahead. But if you had someone like, say, Keenan Allen, then you likely needed to change it. So in this case, right, you have the same player as the other team, you're both going to get the same amount of points from Hunt. So no matter what scores, if you're ahead, then you're going to come out with the same amount of lead as when you went into the game. So in this week, Henderson is the guy who I'm mainly focusing on with that. But there's also Fournette, who's very similarly priced. There's also Mike Evans, Godwin. There's a ton of guys in that same price range. So if you come out of the first round of games and you had Lamar, let's say, and Lamar only had 12 points, then you're likely going to start trailing the teams that had Hurts instead. So you're going to want to switch off of guys like Henderson. And the easiest way to really leverage off of that would be if he's in the flex, you could switch to wide receivers, right? So you would flip that to Robert Woods. Someone in the same game who's direct leverage is the best way to do it, especially in tournaments. Maybe not as much in cash. In cash, I think I would move Henderson closer to like a Godwin or Fournette or something like that. But if you're trailing and say Henderson gets 12 points and he was 40% owned, even if you get like 14 points from a guy like Evans, you're gaining 2 points on 40% of the field. So that's where the leverage, it doesn't always sound like it would make sense because it's like, oh, like Henderson still got 18 points for me. But if Evans gets 25 points, then you're leapfrogging all of those other teams.
There we go. Well said, Lou Dog. I'm not going to ask for your final thoughts on week 7. I feel like that was a good way to end it. So thanks for all for tuning in. Again, any questions, DFS stuff, obviously recording this on a Saturday, it comes up. Feel free to reach out to myself on Twitter at FFTylerO or Lou at LouDogSports. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.